This is the Media Freak Podcast. It's the latest and greatest podcast created by media people who are just a little bit freaky. We're not the big dogs, we're the ones in the media trenches who tell you how it really is. Each episode, you'll hear from us with a quick roundup of media news, our expert guests, and some anonymous sources about the freaky world of media. So who's on the mic? It's me, your host, Harriet from Publicis, Buki from Wavemaker.
What up?
Charlie from Show Heroes.
Hello.
And we are delighted to have a guest appearance today. Mm-hmm. We're pleased to announce that Ash Bateman, EMEA Group Sales Director at Double Verify, has joined the crew this week.
Yay. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, welcome to the Media Freak Podcast, Ash.
Absolutely. We've increased the good lookingness above what we normally get with Jack. So had to give Jack a little dig there. But no, great to have you on the pod today.
So some may know Ash as a prominent figure in the sales side of the industry. Having joined Double Verify back in 2021, she has extensive industry knowledge and has played a pivotal role in shaping how advertisers ensure brand safety, transparency, and performance in an increasingly complex digital ecosystem. You're a big dog, Ash.
Love it. Definitely love being a big dog in brand safety world.
Well, we look forward to quizzing you later on your media life to date. And to our listeners, never fear, we haven't fired Jack. He will be back as normal next week. In today's episode, we discuss the rise of influencer ad spend, the latest in retail media, and we provide our take on the future of holding companies following the Coca-Cola wars last month. So let's get into it. In the influencer landscape, the CEO of Unilever, who took over in 2023, has reportedly confirmed that the company will increase their investment on social from 30% to 50% of their total ad spend. So more specifically, Unilever plans to increase influencer marketing spend by, do you know how much?
20%.
It's 20 times, signalling a decisive move towards creator-led content, and performance-driven marketing. So that's a reflection really of changing consumer behaviours and the growing impact of social commerce. So my question to you is, does this signal a shift in FMCG marketing overall?
I think so. I think there's sort of maths fans amongst us will see this sort of, if you're going from 30% to 50%, but they're having 20 times more creators, that's signaling how much each creator is worth. So I think you mentioned that they want to have one influencer per zip code in India, which is like 19,000 zip codes, and five and a half thousand municipalities in Brazil. So one in each of those individual places. So it's a huge spread that they're going for. And they're sort of the smaller ones rather than bigger, chunkier influencers.
Now, I think when I saw this news, I was like, I'm almost jumping for joy, because I think we're finally into this era where senior leadership is trusting what the people advising them are saying. You know, we've been getting questions from clients, you know, what kind of spread should we have between brand-led creative assets and influencer-led creative assets? And it's a really difficult one to answer, because oftentimes, whatever we give, they still want to lead with brand-led creative. So this, for me, sends a signal further than just FMCG. I think this is across whether like legacy brands, historical brands, traditional brands, that we're seeing this complete change, or the starting to change of the way and the assets that we're using. I think, you know, a lot of legacy brands are stuck in the broadcast era where they generally came up, where, you know, you were into your paid media, you controlled the narrative about your brand, and you said exactly what you wanted to say. But now, you know, consumers are savvy. They want to know what other people are saying about your brand, what other people are saying about your product. So I think the importance of influencers really can't be understated. And to your point, Charlie, the smaller ones are the better. The bigger ones are actually more akin to standard kind of broadcast advertising now. But when you look at the smaller ones, people are trusting what they say. They are really following their journeys. So I think that's a huge one. And just before I kind of just jump off this one, because obviously, as you can see, very excited about this news, I think the biggest impact that we might see as planners and activators will be on how much how much creative license we actually get in media agencies. Because before, creative agencies would do the full campaign and we just buy the media. But now, if it comes to us, we do the media, we book the influencers, we can be in control of the content and the assets come off the back of that. So now we are kind of encroaching into that territory and we can be a bit more creative, I think. So I think that's going to be a really exciting way for us to, flex our creative wings.
I think one of the problems, though, with that is that, like, I think I've mentioned this before, right? Is about the whole influencer thing is predicated on this idea of authenticity. But if we're like, we're kind of we've reached there at some point in time, we have to reach that inflection point where it doesn't become authentic anymore.
I'm glad you've both said that. And interestingly, the UK country director for Meta spoke at Adweek this week. And whilst the subject was AI for business, she actually highlighted the importance of major brands leveraging creators with AI to supercharge creative strategies for business growth, which really enforces the point and the ambition Unilever has to prioritize influencer partnerships and digital first advertising over traditional media. So we'll see what comes of it. In network agency news, now I'm sure most of our listeners have read the press reports over the last few weeks stating that WPP has lost its North America contract with Coca-Cola to Publicis Groupe. Now, WPP and Publicis declined to comment on the FT article that chats on this, but of course, plenty of industry bods have had their say on LinkedIn about the news. Now, it may not be new news, but it's really big news when it comes to the future of holding companies. So my question to you is, do we expect this loss, I suppose, for WPP to influence how other major brands approach agency relationships and media buying contracts in the future?
Well, I think it'll be a really interesting one. So I was having a bit of like just a think about this and a look into this, and I think it does signal like a change for the industry. I think it signals where holdcos are doubling down. I think there was a point when everyone would have just said, these big multinationals will go to the media agency that can give them the best rates. And I think for a long time, GroupM have always kind of led that with the kind of proprietary media through Xaxis and Finecast, now all together as kind of Nexus Media Solutions. So we will always kind of have that. But I think what you're seeing coming to the fore, I know we've talked about, the Publicis acquisitions and everything that's kind of been coming on. We're seeing those other things kind of come to the fore and seeing an importance being placed on them by some of these bigger organizations, the likes of Coca-Cola. I think my hot take on this, if I'm allowed, is I think that WPP will win this back in like 2 cycles' time. Because I asked ChatGPT, who has held the Coca-Cola North America business for the last 20 years, and it was like Starcom 23 2003 to 2015, obviously Publicis, and then it was UM, part of IPG, soon to be IPG Omnicom, and then it was back to WPP, now Publicis. I feel like it's gonna come back around when the things that we're doubling down on, aka AI, have been so tried and tested that they're ready to kind of commit to those kinds of things. So I do think it's signaling some change, but we'll come back around, in my opinion. I'll be interested to see what you man think.
I'm interested to know what you think on this one, Ash, if you do have a point of
So
view.
I think yeah, we're seeing a lot of change, a lot of brands moving agencies and kind of reevaluating and auditing their current media providers and kind of contracts in place. And I think the key thing for that's triggering these are consultancies. So Ubiquiti, Media Sense, there's lots of consultancies are kind of popping up, having that direct relationship with brands, kind of advising them to, relook at things, especially within the current economic climate. Purse strings are tightened, marketing budgets are being more scrutinized. So I definitely think there's a huge shift in kind of relooking at things. And I do feel that consultancies are triggering that and causing some disruption in these
Yeah, that is
movements.
interesting. I mean, always good to remember consultancies make money when they make the move, but they've got a bit of a vested interest. But no, you're right. Yeah, as you say, Ash, there's a renewed focus as the purse strings get tighter and I think publicists have done a fantastic job at driving that sort of like efficiency through Epsilon and with the recent acquisition of was it Lotame? So yeah, they can turn to brands and go, hey, look, we're going to drive efficiency, we're going to cut waste, we're effectively going to make your money go further. Then of course that sounds like an interesting proposition.
Didn't they just even win today? Was it the LinkedIn US,
Yeah.
LinkedIn North America business, literally hot off the presses like 2 seconds ago, just found out that they've
Yeah.
won that as well. So I think they're making big wins like all over the place. So it'll be interesting to see, to your point, whether or not they're able to like expand this remit now that, probably consultancies have kind of helped them make this change. Are they going to start encroaching into other areas, or is this going to, are they going to fluff the trial?
Yeah, I do really think that this signifies a strategic change with holding companies. And someone actually on LinkedIn described Publicis as being the architect of what is the new holding company these days, knowing that Publicis has obviously engineered a model that is really working, which is continuing to disrupt the industry. In the CTV landscape, the media leader has reported that Amazon is due to launch a new shoppable TV ad format in the UK in the second half of this year. The move is part of Amazon's broader TV to till strategy, aiming to seamlessly connect advertising with commerce. So, shoppable ads will actually be available across Amazon's ad-supportive platforms, and the initiative will obviously leverage Amazon's retail ecosystem to make ad-driven purchases quite easy for the consumer. So, what do you think about that? Do you think these formats align with the growing retail media trend?
Yeah, I think retail media is blowing up and it's going to continue to do so. I see why Amazon specifically are doing this. Like, it makes sense for them to direct all of their platforms back to their bread and butter, which is commerce. You want content to commerce. There's not a reason why you're doing some of these things if you're not going to drive back to your bread and butter ultimately. So I think that makes sense. I think it helps them kind of get one up on YouTube, which is obviously starting to pull away in so many spaces right now. But one thing that YouTube has always had, because they're part of that Google stack, they can take a lot of the kind of Google, whether it's search, whether it's the companion ads, they can do all of that stuff and sit it around the content and drive to shoppable locations and shoppable platforms. So Amazon obviously need to get a foothold in this space. So I think this makes a lot of sense for them. And I think as digital planners, when I think about how does this affect us, I think we really need to start going back to the drawing board when we're looking at, funnel stage planning, because that funnel is so compressed now. We're going content to commerce in a single activation. We don't need to be like, oh, this is top of funnel, we need to do some brand stuff. It's all together. So I think we're seeing almost a bit of a paradigm shift, I think, within the industry about how we want to plan campaigns like this.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, shoppable formats is not a new thing, but I think if you think back to video advertising having overlays, QR codes, I think the main difference here is the retail experience is seamless. So you're able to purchase within the same platform, and obviously Amazon is a perfect platform to do that. I think also looking at consumer shifts as well, especially with Amazon. Personally, we look to buy the odd thing from Amazon, but now we're looking at purchasing more FMCG products within Amazon. So I think that is kind of opening up huge opportunities for advertisers. They're not just buying bigger purchase items. They're buying kind of everyday FMCG goods within that as well. So for FMCG specifically, I think that poses a really perfect opportunity. And as you said, Buki, the full funnel approach, you have your branding, you can have pre-roll ads within Amazon Video and then go directly to purchase. That's kind of going across a full funnel approach, and yeah, it's quite an exciting proposition for advertisers.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, obviously they're going to have a hell of a lot of data on each of us about what we may want as well, so they can tie all that together. But how's it going to look? Do we know how it's going to look? Is it going to be like a little, because I saw what was it? Is it called Telly, where they're offering a free TV, but there's a second screen underneath the big screen that has ads on it, and that's how you get the you get the TV for
Who's
free if
offering
you
that?
agree. It's a company called Telly, Telly, Telloy. And yeah,
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 I've heard of
it's
it.
quite an interesting concept. It's like a second screen, and there's more information on there. But one of the parts is that they serve you ads, and therefore you get the hardware for free. I think we've spoken about this in a previous episode about sort of like razors and blades, etc.
I
But
think I when I was thinking about it, because you know when you watch Amazon Prime, they've got that X-ray where you can see who's in the film or who's in the thing. So if you like press pause or whatever, you can see it. In my mind, I was imagining it like that, but no, I haven't actually seen any inside scoop on what it's going to look like, but I thought it would
Yeah,
look
that's a
like
good
that
shout. Because
potentially.
I was my sort of look, my thought process was
Because that's
like,
the thing.
you don't want it to be like intrusive.
Yeah.
You don't want it to ruin that sort of the nice, especially in like the laid back environment that TV it should be anyway. Then you don't want it to be breaking that your nice little comfortable sit down watch at the end of the day.
You actually make a
But
very good point because, like, TV watching has always been quite passive. I know we started talking about second screening when people are using their phones during whatever, whatever. But this, I wonder how long it's going to take audience behavior to kind of catch up. Like, I'm not necessarily trying to click out. Like, I wonder, will it take me onto Amazon.co.uk to make my purchase? Or can I literally purchase it whilst I'm still watching and it's just all in there? Can I literally just add to cart and then buy later? So I think there's a lot. I think we need to do a little bit of digging on this, but it could be interesting. But I do wonder how audience behavior is going to kind of react.
Well, we'll follow the story. We'll follow the ad format. To be continued. Well, let's move on. In the MarTech landscape, we mentioned our commercial partnership with Alchemy Network last week. Now, Alchemy Network is a unique innovation consultancy that's helping companies gain competitive advantage through marketing and advertising tech. They work with over 550 brands and agencies globally, and they identify needs and interests that save agency folk like us time and effort by curating the landscape and condensing it down for you in bite-sized sessions. Now, Buki, I know you rave about Alchemy Network,
I
don't
do
you?
indeed. I do indeed. I think the thing that gets me is like, and no offense, obviously, Mr. Charles Litster, but we've all kind of been there when you're trying to get through all your work, you're trying to do everything you're supposed to do, but you're supposed to be keeping on top of, who are the new partners. You're supposed to be understanding who you can bring on plan, who you can brief on different things. And I found that this has actually just been one of the best ways to just block a bit of time and just say, this is what, my clients are looking for at the minute, or this is what the clients that I work on have been asking about at the minute. Block out an hour, whether it's an hour a quarter or an hour a month, and just see, four or five different players in that space rather than having to do that backwards and forwards of trying to move the different supplier meetings, move the different partner meetings. And then by the time you actually meet them, the deck's like 2 months out of date because you've had to actually change it so many times. So I think for me, that's been the biggest help on this is just hitting all those stones. That's the wrong saying.
Yeah, there we go. You're working smarter, not harder.
You
I
know
like
that's
it.
how I
I
like to
like it,
work. So yeah,
Buki.
for me, that's a big one for me.
Well, if our listeners are interested, you can email hello at alchemy-network.co.uk to find out more. Well, that wraps up our news this week. Remember, you can respond and have your say in any of the topics and stories we discuss on the podcast. Email us. It's info.tmfpod@gmail.com. That's info.tmfpod@gmail.com.
Has anyone checked that email for a while?
That's your job, Buki.
Next question, please.
Moving on to Hero of the Month. So back in March, we introduced an opportunity to celebrate the game changers. Our listeners had the opportunity to nominate a show hero of the month and give them the spotlight they deserve to win a bottle of champs or a top-tier non-alcoholic alternative. So, Charlie, I want you to break the news. Who won Hero of the Month this week or month?
Well, we're about to find out. Hero of the Month. We haven't quite got it down to that cadence yet. We're about to find out. I'm going to spin the wheel. We've had quite a few, more than I anticipated, people signing up, but it is completely random. So we will spin the wheel and see who wins. Let's go. The wheel is spinning. It's quite a long wheel. Okay, we have Andrea Iremesa. I'm sorry if I butchered your name there,
Woo! Woo,
but
woo, woo, woo,
Andrea
woo.
Iremesa. So we will get in touch and we'll send you a fantastic bottle of champagne or non-alcoholic alternative. But
Huge news. Congratulations. You have the love and adoration of the entire Media Freak team. Wow. And the Show Heroes team.
Quite right, quite right. Well, Andrea, if you reach out to us via our socials, Charlie may deliver your gift by hand in his Show Heroes hoodie. So,
And nothing else.
Oh,
What a treat.
I'm gonna get arrested again.
Again, you don't need to tell people that. Well, anyway, let's move on to our guest segment. So we introduced our special guest today, Ash Bateman from Double Verify. So we're so pleased to have you, Ash. Now, we are going to give you some questions, or ask you some questions, should I say, about your life in the industry to date. So we're going to do a bit of a quick fire round. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, number one.
That was an easy question, that one, Claire.
Yeah.
That's not one of the questions. Well, it can count if you like. Well, your role in a nutshell. So, how would you describe your role at Double Verify, and what do you do in just a few words?
Yeah, so I sit within the commercial team at DV, and I am working with directly with advertisers to work across our DV product
That
suite.
sounds very fancy. And what inspired you to actually get into your field and join Double Verify? Was there a defining moment when you knew you were on the right path of brand safety?
Yeah, that's a really tough one because I think we'd always like to say we dreamt of being in media and advertising, but I didn't. Kind of fell into it by chance. I actually did a drama degree, so finished, graduated university, went to the Graduate Recruitment Bureau, did a mass kind of grad group interview, and at the end of that was told that I'd be great at sales. Then from there got plummeted into a role at Marketing Week and NMA magazine. So working with Justin Pearce and Andy Oakes, who are brilliant kind of leaders within the field, kind of gained my foundations and passions for the industry within that. So obviously working my way up, learning lots about the industry, meeting some really good people from the speaker front, also attendees, learning lots about the hot topics within the industry. And then from there, kind of pivoted and went into a pure play sales roles at Microsoft, AOL, Seismic, and really, and yeah, now here at Double
Seismic. I
Verify.
haven't had Seismic in
Seismic,
ages. Let's
yeah,
go,
rest
Seismic
in
gang.
peace. I know. There's an avid cult following for seismic people out there, but
Honestly, I'm such
yeah,
a fan.
it was a great. I'm glad we've got some fans out there. But yeah, so yeah, kind of pivoted. But yeah, I was kind of led by curiosity, really. You'd like to say you have this kind of career trajectory. For me, it was kind of wanting to develop my disciplines, learning more about the industry, and kind of taking opportunities as they came. And yeah, settling at DV.
Can I just say,
I
I
like
actually
it. I
have
like it.
another hot take that I've just decided, that I do feel like our entire industry is full of people that would have gone to drama school if there weren't more people, so many people doing that. We're
Totally.
all actually drama kids at heart, let's be real.
We could do a great
Yeah.
pantomime
Well, you heard
at
it
the end
here
of the
we
year.
really could. You heard it
I'm
here first. The Media Freak
up for
Christmas pantomime.
it. Yeah,
I
I'll get
love it.
planning, guys.
I'm so in. I'm so
We'll put you as the lead role
Yeah,
this
thank you.
Christmas.
Love that.
Well, it sounds like you've
Fantastic.
had a pretty impressive set of experience over the years. And given that, you're in the right position to share your point of view on one of our news stories. So we obviously discuss Unilever upping
Yes.
the budgets on influencers. So how do you see that kind of impacting your role and what you do this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think it's shocking, but it is if you think about, the advertiser from Unilever, Shifting spend from 30% on social to 50%, and understanding, what that is in ad dollars, it's massive. And I do think, doubling down on influencer marketing is a really smart move. I think for advertisers, they will always want to be where their audiences are, and we know consumers are spending more and more time within social environments. So 64% of the world's global population are now on social media platforms. And 151 minutes are being spent on average per day, which is a lot. I think I'm probably a little bit more guilty, but yeah, that's where advertisers want to be, where their consumers are. And obviously, influencer marketing is a great way to amplify brand messaging in an authentic way, but also allows them to speak to those engaged communities. So it's a real lean-in environment. But also, I think in terms of investing in influencers, there's a value exchange for investment in creators, not just plummeting ad dollars into the social platforms. They're being kind of careful and strategic in where they're placing investment. From a social point of view, obviously the spend is growing there. And I think what's really important is advertisers need to gain control about where they're being displayed within social. I think advertisers really do need to lean in and take control of where they're being seen and what kind of content they're investing. I'll quote a famous quote from Warren Buffett: "It takes 20 years to build brand reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it." And if you think about that, you'll do things differently. So I think from a responsible marketing point of view, I think advertisers need to be kind of really fully aware of where they're being seen and making sure that they have full control about brand adjacency and what investment they're putting into what content creators they're investing in as well.
That was a very eloquent answer, Ash.
Thank you.
I loved it. I loved it. Well, moving on to something a little bit more lighthearted, your daily ritual. So, what's one habit or routine that keeps you sane in media?
Well, I thought of this straight away, and I am an avid line biker.
Big.
I've been an early adopter as well. Love a good line. But yeah, I really enjoy my morning commute, especially when the weather's like this. 14 degrees, wind in my hair. But yeah, a nice bit of exercise, avoiding the tube, and yeah, getting away from screens, starting the day off in the right way. Not sure it's keeping me sane, but yeah, I do enjoy
Have
the
you fallen
line.
off yet? Have you
I
fallen off yet after a
haven't.
glass of wine like everyone else?
No,
A
I haven't
responsible line
actually. But
biker.
yeah, I've obviously got quite good. Yeah. A lot of my friends have fallen off though, and I'm like, how? It happens.
Well, as long as you're wearing your helmet is all I
Of
can say.
course, I've got a
Oh,
collapsible
clever. I
one.
love
So,
that.
yes, safety first, guys.
Very
Oh my
smart.
God, I love it. I love it. Right, powerful advice. If you could give one piece of advice to someone just starting in the industry, what would it be?
So yeah, I think about what's really helped me through my career, and it's really kind of pinning back to building a network. So when I first started out in the industry, I went to loads of events. I kept learning, meeting lots of people, building communities within those events. So I used to go to a lot of the kind of women's kind of groups like Bloom, Dawn events back in the day, and now kind of the Women in Programmatic. Obviously, there's tons of industry events out there, and I think it's really important for people just starting into the industry to learn as much as they can from leaders within the industry as speakers, but also the networking opportunities within that. Building a network, building allies, sounding boards, I think, yeah, is really important, and yeah, could be important kind of contacts for the futures from a business perspective. And also kind of future job prospects and friends. So yeah, I think it's really important to really focus in building that really strong network. Our industry is built on relationships as well. So I think that's a really special thing about our industry, is that we are really well connected, and to yeah, kind of lean into that as much as possible.
Love that answer. That's, yeah, very, very good answer. And one last word. If listeners could take away one thing from this conversation from you, what should it be?
That's a really tough one. But yeah, I think for me, just talking about kind of the recent articles, there's lots of disruption in advertising and media, and there always will be. So I think the important thing is to embrace change and stay curious. Keep a passion for learning. That's definitely something that I've had. And change is inevitable, but growth is optional.
That's a banger.
Boy, pure fire. Pure fire to close it off.
Mic
Okay.
drop. Mic
Growth
drop.
is optional.
Well, I love
Oh.
it. Thanks so much, Ash. That was great. Well, that wraps up this week. So thank you so much for listening to the Media Freak podcast. If you like listening to our Freak this week, remember to like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Media Anon will return next week, as well as Freak of the Week and Jack 2. So do keep your stories coming in. Huge thanks to Ash from Double Verify and also Alchemy Network as our long-term commercial partner. See you
Ta-da.
soon.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.